Good morning. If you're getting extra coffee or biscuits, feel free to carry on. My name is Jo, and together with Matt, my husband, we lead one of the community groups here, one of the midweek groups, and we have a small baby, but you'll hear a little bit more about her in due course. So right now, my job is to look after her, but I've spent lots of years working with my other babies, which is students in Cornwall and elsewhere. I've often felt a little bit like anyone who's watched Fame, doesn't the teacher like do a big song about these are my children? For a long time, I felt like a slight mother hen about the students, like they were my children. And they still are in my heart, but now I have an even tinier one to look after. So I don't know if any of you were woken with the customary breakfast in bed this morning, maybe with a daffodil on your tray. I guess I was woken with breakfast in bed of sorts, but given that my daughter is tiny, she needs slightly more attention than I do. So she got breakfast in bed this morning, and I had a nappy change, although actually Matt did that today. Later on, I did have some pineapple brought for me. I did my Mother's Day duties on Friday. In fact, I went to visit my nan, who lives in a care home in Truro, and she's wonderfully crazy. She remembers kind of what she wants to, I think. So instantly she remembered Elodie when I turned up. She always remembered my due date when I was pregnant. Yeah, on Friday she insisted on telling me that she'd only been there for 3 weeks, and she's been there for 3 years. I don't know where she's got this from. But she said she didn't know where she was before. She was just hanging around, apparently. But so I did that, and I have a stay of execution with my mum and her gift, because currently now I think she's just left Florida on a cruise, so it's all right for some. I guess I can save a bit of money on her Mother's Day present and go and clean up in the sails before she gets back. So I recently had a baby. She's 5.5 months old. She's called Elodie, and she's very lovely. So I can confirm that the baby that Josh was holding really isn't his baby. It's my baby. And while she is lovely, I didn't really find the journey to motherhood that straightforward. I'll mention some of my story later, but I'm also aware that, straightforward or not, I did eventually become a mum, and for that I do feel really blessed. On the whole, I've really enjoyed having Elodie. My pregnancy and labour were straightforward, and so it seems. My baby is too, so I'm aware that I've been really fortunate, and I'm always reminding myself that I need to not get lulled into too false a sense of security, because it might not always be like it. I think I'm one of the strange women who's scared of having another baby, not because of my awful experience, but because everything has been so good. I think it can only get worse. However, it was just a really overwhelming experience. I found newborn really easy, not because I'm great at it, but just because she slept in somewhere other than on me. But you get nothing back from them. And I know I sound super selfish. Whenever I say that, people laugh, thinking that maybe I'm just joking, but really, you just get nothing back from them. Whereas now, she's much harder work, but so much more enjoyable. However, in the first few weeks after having her, and indeed even now, people would regularly ask me if I was loving being a mum. Maybe it's my tendency to overanalyze rather than just answer a simple question. In fact, it's probably definitely a lot to do with my tendency to overanalyze. However, I just didn't know how to answer that question. It is far too big a thing to be able to answer so simply. Being a mum just felt really big. And I wasn't suffering baby blues or even the very real postnatal depression. But it's just a massive thing. And Mother's Day can be difficult, can't it, for us? There are a whole host of reasons why we might find a day like today tough. Maybe we have our mum, but our relationship is fractured. Maybe you don't speak, and it's not the relationship that you imagine it could be. It's not the relationship that it should be. Maybe it's been that way for as long as you can remember, and you've seen your friends and their relationships with their mums, and you've longed for a similar relationship. Maybe you don't have your mum any longer. Maybe she's passed away, and in amongst the daily pain that you feel at this loss, Mother's Day is just a more acute reminder of that emptiness in your life without her. Or maybe you'd really love to be a mum, but sadly aren't. You've ridden the roller coaster of emotions of trying to get pregnant, of being disappointed. And every Mother's Day card in the shops is a searingly painful reminder that you aren't one. Or maybe you have been a mother, but are no more. And regardless of the years that pass, the pain doesn't lessen. It may be that no one knows. You sit here looking happy. To the onlookers, you're yet to embark on this journey of motherhood. But you know that you are a mother already. But it was a journey that was cut painfully short. We could even be sat here, already a mother, so looking to everyone around, looking the part, a trail of children behind us. And we look to everyone else like we've got it nailed, like we are really succeeding at this motherhood thing. But inside, we feel like a wreck, like we're always failing, like we're always getting it wrong. Those Hallmark verses just serve as to rub salt into the wound of the mess that you feel like you're making. So what do we do with it? What do we do with a day to celebrate mothers? Well, I guess we could pretend that it's not happening. We could avoid every card shop from early March. We could certainly need to avoid restaurants on that Sunday afternoon. And certainly, I guess, we don't come to a service like this. But that's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Or maybe we could just act like we don't care, that it doesn't bother us. We perfect our blasé, nonchalant, oh, I hadn't even realised face when anyone mentions Mother's Day. But pretending won't change things. It won't make the pain go away. Because the reality is, mothers are important. I guess that's why our relationships with mothers and motherhood throws up so many emotions and can hurt so much. But it does feel like a bit of a mess sometimes, doesn't it? This thing that seems like it should be so straightforward, being a mother, being a child, surely it should be easy. But like so many experiences in our world, it's not. And whether we feel like we're a failing mother, or whether our heart breaks daily because we're not a mother, the God of the Bible speaks words of comfort to us. Whether we hurt because the family we have is fractured and broken, or whether we hurt because the family we have feels painfully incomplete, God whispers to us through the pain. In Isaiah, a book in the older section of the Bible, God says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I, God, comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I, God, will not forget you. God uses the picture of a mother to describe his love for us. Whether our earthly experiences of a mother are positive or not, just as a mother should be, so is God's love for you. In your pain, he will comfort you. He will not forget you. I mentioned earlier that my journey to becoming a mum wasn't straightforward, and certainly not as straightforward as you're led to believe when you're an innocent schoolgirl frightened by teachers that if you just so much as look at a boy, then you will get pregnant. And in September 2013, after several months of trying, sadly, I had a miscarriage. And as I've come to discover only since that happening, it's an experience that is shockingly surprising number of women go through, and of course men too. Up until then, I don't think I'd even really considered it. You just assume that things will go as you planned, that you decide that you're going to have a baby, so you do. But in the midst of my pain, pain that causes you to wonder why, to cry out that life just isn't fair, the Bible couldn't tell me why that had happened. The Bible couldn't tell me if or when I would have a baby. But as I talked to God about how I was feeling, I was comforted as I was reminded that God cares that I was suffering, that he longs to comfort me, and above all, God too knows the pain that I was in, and even the anguish of losing a child. Since before the creation of the world, God the Father has always been in a loving relationship with his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship that is characterized by looking out and loving the others, rather than looking inwards and living yourself. It's these three persons in this loving relationship that make up the Trinity, the God that Christians worship. It's basically a tri-unity, three persons united together in love. And Christians often speak of God being love. Maybe you've seen those yellow smiley face car stickers that are only very slightly cheesy. And they say that God is love. And it's this that they're referring to. Not simply that he is loving, but that this constant, eternal, inseparable, uncontainable, committed love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what defines him. It's who he is. God is love. Imagine a family like that, where each member is always looking out for the needs of the others, putting the others first, fiercely committed, no fear of messing up, of disappointing, of failing. In Galatians, a book in the newer part of the Bible, I'm aware that's all relative, it's all quite old, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Here we learn that God the Father, who has always been in that loving relationship, giving out lovingly, now gives his Son. His Son, who has been enjoying the warmth and safety and security of this tri-unity, enters our world, as it says, is born of a woman, just the same as each one of us. So many religions speak of the human race clawing their way up to God, doing all they can to prove themselves, to make themselves good enough. But here, Jesus comes down to us and enters into our mess. The world wasn't meant to be so messy. In the account of creation that the Bible gives us, it says that the world was good. And with us in it, not only good, but very good. But in a world filled with people who long for their own way, who've been drawn in by that notion of looking out for number one, of behaving in a way quite the opposite from that selfless, outgoing love, the way that we just spoke of. Ultimately, people who aren't interested in the God who so lovingly created them. In a world like this, the goodness is so often hard to spot, isn't it? And it's into this mess that God sends his Son, into this mess that Jesus steps. As the passage says, Jesus came with a purpose. He's born under the law, subject to the same commandments as God's people. Whatever God expected from humans, he expected from Jesus too. The difference here being that while humans were unable to keep those commandments, Jesus was perfectly. All the worship, obedience, devotion, prayer, love, and sacrifice which the Father demands, Jesus gives. God wants us to love him wholeheartedly, to obey him. But our human obedience is so lacking. So the Son comes, born of a woman, to do in our place what we should have done. And in doing so, this passage says that he redeems us. Just as if you bought back a precious ring that had been pawned, maybe. Jesus pays our debt for living this life ignoring God and his goodness. He buys us back for himself. But he does so in the most costly way possible. The cost for him was his life. And I mentioned earlier that God knew the pain that I was in when I lost our first baby. He too knew the pain and anguish of losing a child. In describing the very moment of Jesus' death, a biography's life found in the Bible records him saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There may be no worse inner agony for us than the loss of a relationship that we so desperately want or cherish. Maybe if a good friend turns around and criticizes us, says they never want to see us again, that's painful. And then, of course, it's infinitely worse, isn't it, if it's someone who we actually quite like, even love, turns around and declares that all you ever thought about your relationship and their feelings for you is a sham, and they want nothing more to do with you. I'm wincing at the thought of it. But for a parent to lose a child, or a child their parent, to be separated from the one person in the world who knows you and loves you more than anyone, who is always on your side, that's incomparable. It's incomprehensible. But in the moment when Jesus was hanging on that cross, bleeding and in pain, he was cut off from his Father, the one whom he'd been in the most perfect, loving relationship with since before creation. In that moment, as his Son hung on a cross, giving his life for the world he came to love and save, in that moment, the gulf separating Father and Son was so wide. God the Father knows the pain of losing a child, and Jesus knows the pain of losing a parent. But not only does God know our pain and long to comfort us in it, more than this, he invites us into a family greater than any that we long for. In dying for us, in paying that debt, Jesus brings us into this family. We're adopted, receiving full rights as sons. And for the ladies of us here, this isn't some sexist or chauvinistic thing, but the term sons is used because whether we like it or not, in this culture, sons were treated with greater privilege. They're the ones who receive the inheritance. It's not just any old adoption that we receive, but male or female, we're adopted as sons and receive the full rights as such. We receive the full inheritance of a son. And in this case, the son is Jesus. As we're adopted into this family, bought by Jesus dying for us, God the Father has exactly the same love for us as he does for Jesus, his son. More specifically, in fact, if you belong to Jesus, the Father looks on you and sees Jesus. He looks on you as his beloved child and says, "Behold, my son, my daughter who I love, with you I am well pleased." Everything that belongs to Jesus now belongs to you because you belong to Jesus. You have the Father's love. You have the Father's verdict of being just right. You have Jesus as your brother and the whole universe as your inheritance. The joyful message of the Christian good news is that God the Father will love the believer as he loves God the Son. Imagine that, being brought into that family relationship of love and unity that has existed for all of eternity. Knowing that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of whether you feel like a mess, God loves you just as much, is just as pleased with you, is just as committed to you as he is to Jesus, his son. Now that's a family to be part of, isn't it? But being part of God's family also means being part of his wider family, the church. And I don't just mean Grace Church or Truro Cathedral or maybe the parish church down the road, but the church, all believers together. And we're told to rejoice with one another when there's cause for rejoicing. Just like Josh and Becky getting engaged. We're told to cry with one another when there's cause for mourning. And in this family, Jesus tells us that we're all somebody's mother, daughter, father, son, sister, or brother. You might not have your own children, but in the church, you have sons and daughters. This time last year, I was pregnant, although nobody knew. I guess I was still navigating the... it gets a lot more scary being pregnant when you've had a miscarriage. So I was excited that I was having a baby, but nervous. And also, it was Mother's Day, and part of me wanted to shout to everybody that I was a mother too, but not wanting to tell people. And I was at church up in Winchester, so where Matt is from. And Georgie, one of the girls who comes here, is also from there, and she was there. She didn't know that I was pregnant. And at Christchurch, they give daffodils to to everybody. But it starts off with the little children coming and getting daffodils to give to their mums, and then everybody just gets showered with daffodils. And Georgie brought me a daffodil, and it really, really, I found it really emotional. She didn't, I guess, know why it was, I mean, she knew why I might find it a little bit emotional, but she didn't know all of it. And so whilst I was pregnant with my own baby at the time, there are lots of people, for me, I guess, who fit the role of children. Like I said, I have had my fame moments. And for those of you here who, even if you have your own biological children or not, there's lots of people who you are a mother to. And similarly, you may no longer have your mother, but in the church, there are so many people who either are mums to you or long to be mums to you. My mum is wonderful. We have a great relationship. But when I was away at university in Winchester, she wasn't there all the time. And there were lots of people at Christchurch who were like mums to me, one of them in particular, a lady called Angie. And I guess I really was taken into their family because one of the people who I would consider the most daughter-like to me is her daughter as well. But Angie was a wonderful kind of spiritual mum to me who I would go to when I was away from home, who would be there to listen, who played the role of a mum, biological or not. Because we are family together. And right now, today, whatever the cause of the pain that we might feel, whatever our feelings towards a day given over to celebrating motherhood, God wants to tell us that he knows that pain, and he's felt it too. That he feels it again when he sees us suffer, and he longs to comfort us with a love that far outweighs any other. But on top of this, he wants to invite you to know the real love, comfort, and liberation of being known and loved by him. He knows our deepest, darkest secrets. He knows the decisions that we've made that we're ashamed of. He knows the gut-wrenching pain we feel. He knows that sometimes we blame ourselves. But in spite of all this, when we come to him, he sees in us his child who he loves. He loves you and is pleased with you. So as we consider what it means to be part of our own immediate families, with our mothers or without our mothers, with our children or without our children, let's remember the God who loves us, who knows our pain, and the family he's invited us into. And as one family together today, for better or for worse, celebrating together a day for mothers, I want to share with you a kind of poetic celebration of mothers called The Spectrum of Mothering by, not my own work, by a lady called Amy Young. And then we're going to sing together. To those of you who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster mums, mental mums and spiritual mums, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you this Mother's Day. We walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you.